I am really excited to be here this morning, which sounds a little bit weird because I've been here the whole week. well, a whole weekend. It feels like it's been a whole week. It hasn't been quite an entire week, but I'm really excited to be here on this Easter Resurrection Sunday because I love movies. I've mentioned that to a few of you. I absolutely love movies, and I don't think that there is a better biblical story that is made for the silver screen than this Easter Sunday story. So picture this. We open on Jerusalem, a horrible dystopic society where Jews are downtrodden by their Roman overlords that just hold them and oppress them. Okay, it's a bit dramatic, I grant you, but what's a movie without a little bit of drama? So back to our dystopian society where the Jews are being downtrodden and we find the Jewish nation and they're yearning for their long-promised Savior to come and free them from the Romans. So Act 1. Jesus enters on Palm Sunday, the man that the Jewish community have been gossiping about. Did he really feed 5,000 people? Hey, did you hear that he supposedly healed a lame man? Oh, come on. Can you believe that he spat on the ground, made mud, rubbed it on a guy's eyes, and he could see? Did that really happen? It's a community that's astounded. It's a community that is excited. It is a community that is filled with hope that maybe, just maybe, their long-awaited Savior has come. Act 2, Good Friday, and tragedy strikes. The crowd that loved Jesus only 1 week earlier has been turned on him, and they're baying for his blood. The Romans, well, they don't care about this guy. The Jewish leaders, well, they want him gone because he's a threat to their power and their authority. And the people, well, they're following their long-held tradition of killing the person that comes with a message of challenge and the means of hope, which brings us to Act 3, Resurrection Sunday. Spoiler alert, the hero wins, and the hero wins big time. Today's the day that we celebrate that Jesus has won the victory. Oh, my giddy aunt. I hope you online were doing better than that. Today's the day that we celebrate Jesus has the victory. He's supernaturally been raised from the dead. His mission is complete. He's paid the price for sin and the world has hope eternal. Cut, print and wait till Oscar season because this one is going to win all the awards on the night. But wait, in the tradition of the classic Marvel movie, there is a little spoiler for the next episode in the credits. And we see that in this, there is a big difference between a movie and Easter Resurrection Sunday. Because on Easter Resurrection Sunday, we actually have somebody running out of the grave.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Ron Gibson. I have the privilege of reading God's Word today. A few seconds, I'm going to read it, but just first of all, a little background. After Jesus was put into the tomb on Thursday, we had a dinner on Thursday just on the 3 days ago. It was so late in the day that there was no time for Jesus' body to be prepared for burial in the tradition that they did. All that Joseph could do was go out and buy some linen and wrap it around the body and put it into his tomb. He had to do it before the Sabbath began at sunset. The women who want to do this will have to wait until the first opportunity after the Sabbath, and that's today, Sunday, the third day. I'm reading from John 20, the first 9 verses, and you can either read it on the screen, you can look at it in your Bible, or you can follow along with my words. You can close your eyes if you want to and put yourself into the scene and imagine what happened on that day. John chapter 20, reading from verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, While it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one that Jesus loved, and she said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Simon was, both of them were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and he looked in at the strips of lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. This is God's word for us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So here we have Mary, and she's running out of the tomb with a story that is going to transform lives across the world. And in fact, is going to transform lives across time itself. So out of this story, I feel like Jesus is telling us we don't have to be stuck where we are. Now, that was a great telling. Thank you, Ron. I really appreciate that. But were you listening to it? Did you hear? Where was Jesus? He wasn't in the grave. He's not stuck in the grave anymore. The disciples assumed that somebody had taken him. And in fact, the scripture says they still did not understand from scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. On Friday, Jesus dies. They take him down from the cross. They put him in the tomb. And then on Sunday, he's gone. He's not stuck in the grave. And see, Jesus has not only paid the penalty for our sin, but he's risen to life. He has conquered death and broken its hold on us. Hallelujah. And he's left the grave so that we could run into this new experience of life. As John 10:10 says, run into this life to the full. Have life and have life to the full. Now, I want to give you a bit of an illustration here to help you understand what it's like, because I believe that in this story, we're tethered to the grave. And so I'm going to need some volunteers. Bailey Todd, are you here? He's gone? Fantastic. I think he knew I was going to tie him up. That's awesome. Okay. Well, I need a couple of burly blokes as well. Can I have you two here? Ethan, you're a big burly bloke. Come on up here. Thank you. Timbo, come on up. All right. And Timmy Gittins, come on up here. All right. This is fantastic. My next dream has always been, I'll just work myself up the Todd chain. Vienna. She says no. This is great. We're doing... Oh, hello, Bailey. Oh, he's been hiding down the back. Hello, Bailey. Come on down. All right, boys, I want you to come and line up across here. Yep, perfect. Perfect, perfect. Sorry to the people online turning my back to you. All right. So Bailey is what we call a human being. Yep, doing well. You all right? All right. So pre-Easter, we were tethered to a way of life that God didn't intend for us. Okay? Pre-Easter, we're stuck in a pattern of sin. And as we heard before, sin is where we've missed the mark with God. And sometimes that's from the stories that we're told in the world, and we're told that they're okay, these patterns of sin, or that they're just normal and everyone feels that way and that it's okay and you're intended to feel that way, but I actually believe that that's not the way that God's intended for us. And we can sometimes live in a life where we're tethered. All right, Bailey, you've got to try and run out of the grave, okay? Go that way. All right, and sometimes we're tethered by guilt, the guilt of stuff that we've done that we know that we probably shouldn't have been done. And we're tethered by the selfishness that we're number one, that no one else matters, but we can be selfish because the world says that we can be selfish. Sometimes we're tethered by bitterness. We're tethered by the bitterness of the broken heart. And we're trying to run away, but we're tethered here. Sometimes we're tethered by rage. We can't take it. It's not fair. I can't believe they did that to me. I'm right and they're wrong. And then there's lust and there's everything else. And we're trying to get away, but we're tethered here. And just like Bailey, we're trying to run away from this dead life. But there's hope. Well, we thought in the world speak that these things would set us free. They're really tethering us to a way of life that we're never been intended to live. The world has spoken this into us and we've bought into it. And the tomb, we're stuck in this tomb as the scripture says. But when Jesus left the grave on that Sunday morning, his power broke the power of sin. He gave us a new pattern of life that we could live by. He reminded us that no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, you can be forgiven of your sin. Because Jesus conquered death and he has cut you loose from the life that you live. Because if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. Thanks, boys. Just drop your ropes there. Thank you, Bailey. We'll pay for the doctor's bill for the damage. Now, I hate to put a dampener on things, but I'm sure each of you are so inspired by the freedom that you can have, that every Christian lives their life in. But I need to bring up an obvious reality and highlight a very obvious dilemma. I know Christians that live with guilt and feel shame. I know followers of Jesus that sometimes experience guilt and greed and bitterness and fear and lust and rage. And if I'm being completely honest, sometimes that Christian is me. But does that mean that we've not been set free? Does that mean that we're not saved from our sin? Does that mean that Jesus' power that he won on the cross and made available through his resurrection, does that mean that it's not at work within me? Well, not at all. I want you to take a look with me at Romans chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. And in the Passion Version, it says this: "For by his sacrifice, Jesus died to sin's power once for all. But he lives continuously for the Father's pleasure. So let it be the same way with you." By his sacrifice, Jesus died to sin's power once for all. And that means for you and for me forever. That means for you and for me forever. So, if we sometimes still experience shame or bitterness, or if we have those things that mean all of those other things that we've been set free of, if we still experience hope, does that mean that we've not been set free? Well, no, it doesn't. But however, what it does mean is, Bailey, come on back up, buddy. I want to give you an illustration. What it does mean, and we're going to use this rope illustration again. What it does mean is that when somebody, when somebody says something to you and it cuts a little bit to the bone, sometimes we just tether ourselves back to the grave. Sometimes when we do that thing that we know we shouldn't have done, we tether ourselves back to the grave. Sometimes when we see that person and we think, oh my goodness, they're so much better than us, I can never be worthy, we tether ourselves back to the grave. And we take away the freedom that Jesus so hard fought on the cross. But does that mean that we're not set free? Does that mean that Jesus' sacrifice is null and void? Well, not at all. In Romans 6, 10 to 11, by his sacrifice, Jesus dies to sin's power once and for all. So why on earth do we keep tethering ourselves back to the grave? Well, the passage goes on to say, since you are now joined with Jesus, you must continually view yourselves as dead and unresponsive to sin's appeal while living daily for God's pleasure in union with Jesus, the Anointed One. See what it says there? You must continually view yourselves as dead to sin, as followers of Jesus. Well, friends, we're in a battle of the mind. Now, each of these things that we talk about here, each of these things that we've cut away, that we might have tied on, they start and they end with a thought. Now, there might be some actions in between. You know, we've got two ends and there's some actions in between. But we think and we act, and it changes when we think again. So this is a battle of the mind. And so you see what this means is that if we are going to continually live in God's truth, we've got to claim the freedom that comes with those truths. So, if the Son has set you free, you're free indeed. Christ died once for all. There is no condemnation for those who live in Christ Jesus. Amen? If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The new has come, the old has gone. Fear not, for I am with you, says the Lord. I will give you the strength and help that you need. God says, you are my child. Run in freedom, young son. If you truly want to run out of the grave and live the freedom of a new life, well, then you need to continually view yourselves as dead to sin and daily live in the freedom and unity that Jesus bought on the cross by claiming your freedom with the truth, one step at a time, one thought at a time. Jesus said, if you hold on to my teaching, you are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Because when you live in the truth of Jesus' resurrection, it sets you free. As humanity, when we live in the truth that Jesus died on a cross and rose again out of the grave, we can live a life of freedom. About 7 years ago, I was being driven to the airport after a camp, and the guy who was driving me to the airport gave me some advice. And you know, it was good advice because it's stuck in my head for 7 years. And we were talking about what I was going to do when I got back to our appointment after leading this youth camp. And I was telling him, oh, I'm quite anxious. I'm a little bit worried. I was just not in a really good headspace about this. And he turned to me and he said, oh, I don't understand. Why are you worried? Well, I thought he was a little bit thick, so I said it again. And I said, well, look, this is what's going on. This is what I'm worried about. And as we drove, he said to me, John, we've just led a week-long camp where we have spoken to young people and we've told them that Jesus died on a cross so you don't have to live in that space anymore, that you have got a new way of life, that you can live life and live it to the full. And that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can have that as a reality in your life day after day after day after day after day as you claim Jesus' victory for you. And we stopped at the lights and he turned to me and he said, John, that's your God too. Start living like it is. Friends, this Resurrection Sunday, I want to encourage you to claim the truth. I want to encourage you to claim the truth of what Jesus' resurrection has accomplished. Claim the truth of the freedom through Jesus' resurrection. There's a beautiful song, and the words really sum it up in a nutshell, and it simply says, now my debt is paid. It is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilt. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me, whom the Son sets free. I was free indeed. The reality of Jesus' resurrection means that we can run out of the tomb into this glorious day. That we can run with confidence that we are forgiven of anything that we have done where we have missed God's mark. That we have received this gift of being a child of God, and that we are viewed as this holy and perfect child of God, that we are an heir to all the promises of God and the riches of His glory, that you are loved unconditionally, no questions asked, and that you can live a life that is free. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 18 from the Voice Translation says, therefore, if anyone is united with Christ, that new person is a new creation. The old life is gone. And see, a new life has begun. All of this is a gift from God, our Creator, who has purposed us and bought us and restored us into a restored and healthy relationship with Him through the Anointed. Now, I realize that we have a lot of people from different walks of life today. I realize that we have people on different stages of the journey. But today, run out of the grave, known that Jesus has cut every tether. Know that as you tether yourself back by picking up the things of earth that He has not deigned for you, He cuts them again and again and again. And that you can be set free. And so today, I want you to know that. You may have just heard this message for the very first time today. You may have heard for the very first time that you don't have to live the life that you're currently living. You don't have to live in the struggles that you are currently living in. You don't have to experience that pain and suffering. Doesn't mean that it's going to get taken away, but that you will have a God that will be with you every step of the way, giving you the guidance and power to overcome it. Well, today I want to invite you to run out of that grave and into that glorious day. Today maybe you have cut the tether, but over the years you've tied bits back on. You've been told the story and you've bought back into the story and you've tied things on and you've been tethered again. Well, today, on this Resurrection Sunday, know that you can cut the tether again and again and again and run in the freedom that God bought on the cross for you. Maybe today you've cut the tether. Maybe you're running free in the faithful knowledge that God has bought by His sacrifice for you, and you are daily looking to Him as your Savior, knowing that He has died for your sin. But you know somebody who hasn't, then today, commit to praying for them. Commit to seeking the Holy Spirit's power that He might work and cut their tether. Wherever you are out on the journey today, I want to invite you to make that response and to have the rope cut As a response, I've got a couple of pieces of rope around here, and they've got promises of God written on them. You might want to come as an acknowledgement today and say, God, yep, I want you to cut my tether. I'm accepting that. You might want to come and go, God, you've done it before. I want you to do it again. I'm going to do it. Or you might come and you might pick one up and you might say, God, I know somebody who needs this desperately in your life, in their lives, and I am praying your power into them. Well, the guys are going to celebrate with us, because today isn't a day that we need to sit in misery, because Jesus is alive. He has been resurrected. Today is a happy day. Today is a day where we can run in victory. We no longer have to be tethered to the grave, but we can kick it off. We can cut it out. We can run forward. So today, as these guys lead us, make your response. Come and cut the tether and run forward in Jesus' victory. Run forward, because when you know the reality of Christ's resurrection, you can run in a life of freedom. Father God, I pray today that through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that the people that sit with me today, the people who watch online, the people who will watch it in the future, the people that we share this great message with, will cut their tether to a world that they were not intended for and live in the victory that Jesus has bought for them. I pray today that we will leave this place running in the freedom of your Son's sacrifice and gift to each one of us. A happy day.